beyond surpass, penetrating and perfect truth, is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. Today we're celebrating the Buddha's enlightenment, and I want to say a few words about spiritual conversion or transformation. I like the word transformation better than conversion, although it's seems to be a less religious word in some ways. We tend to think of conversion as, in popular parlance relative to religion, we tend to think of conversion as a change of faiths or adopting a faith. In the sense of a set of beliefs and practices. But when we talk about conversion in contemplative Buddhism, we're talking about an actual transformation of greed, hate, and delusion into compassion, love, and wisdom. And at a deeper level, you're really talking about the reorientation of a being. What was called in one Buddhist scripture, the turning about and the seat of deepest consciousness. Reorientation from the world of self and separate selves to the world of the eternal. Reorientation from being the person who imagines he or she is in the driver's seat, and the person who knows that the eternal is in the driver's seat, and that our job is to follow, to listen and to follow. So as I say, I prefer the word transformation. The enlightenment of the Buddha points the way for the understanding of this concept. In his involvement in ascetic practices, which he came to be an expert prior to his enlightenment, the Buddha was trying to, in effect, kill the selfish self. And he almost killed his physical body in the process. And the theory underlying this kind of practice in ancient India was that the Atman, or the true self as they understood it, was imprisoned, was a pure soul, that really belonged in oneness with Brahma, the world soul, and was imprisoned in this material body, and that this material body in the material world is fundamentally impure. And so the job of the ascetic was to allow the Atman to become freed from the shackles that bound it to the material world, to the body. And it was shackled by desire. So you had to deny desire. Hence, you do things like starve yourself. You desire food, so you starve yourself. You free yourself from desire in every form. Well, of course, this is a kind of path that leads, if carried out very to an extreme, it leads to destruction of the body. It doesn't lead to real spiritual liberation. It doesn't lead to real spiritual conversion. It's not really attempting to convert anything. Another way to put it, it's not seeing the Buddha nature in greed, hate, delusion, in the selfish self. It's only seeing an obstacle. It's not seeing an opportunity. In the point of view that was able to develop after the Buddha's enlightenment and founded in that great experience, that great transformation that happened there in the life of the Buddha. But in the deep teaching that came out of that, there is the understanding the greed, hate, and delusion, what we call the selfish self, are the raw material of enlightenment. And that the work of our spiritual training is the continual transformation of that raw material into aspects of enlightenment. So that greed converts into generosity. Hatred converts into compassion. Delusion converts into wisdom. Humility. The selfish self itself, which is fundamentally an unreality, converts into the humble and willing discipleship to the eternal. Willfulness transforming into willing discipleship. The glad and generous-hearted following of the eternal. And in this understanding, the eternal is not a separate great world soul that we return to. The eternal is everything. And it is the reality of everything is immaculacy. All religions have many stories of miracles. And the great majority of these stories of miracles have to do with holy men and holy women doing something that people think of as impossible. The real miracle, the one true miracle, is the miracle of conversion, transformation. And that is something that can happen within each of us. It is happening within each of us as we sit here today in meditation. It's not something we have to will to happen. It's something that is always trying to happen if we just get out of that, the way of that process. And that is why quiet sitting with the heart open to the eternal is the foundational practice of our faith. And some form of this practice is the foundational practice of all deep religion, all contemplative religion. Getting out of the way of the eternal so that the eternal can do the work within our heart. Becoming a willing disciple of the Eternal. Here I am, do with me as you will. Please help me. There's no question of being worthy or unworthy for this to happen. It has nothing to do with such things. It is just a question of, do we give the Eternal the chance to help us in this way? Do we give the time and the place for this process to happen? Do we live our lives in a way that allows this to always be cooking away in us? The ancient metaphors used in the teaching sometimes are drawn from alchemy, transforming gross material into gold. Sometimes they're drawn from medicine, using ordinary plants to make a brew or tea that we drink that heals us. Sometimes they're drawn from household processes like cooking or heating, or from things that we do in an altar like burning incense. They always involve a change in some substance so it becomes something else. Incense is burned and rises up in smoke as an offering. Things are put on a fire and transformed. When you see the many coarse aspects of worldly life, the many seemingly unjust aspects of daily life, the often ugly and sometimes very brutal aspects of life in the world, you can see, if you're willing to do so, this is the raw material of enlightenment. From this place, beings can progress to spiritual serenity and compassion, generosity, wisdom, peace of mind and heart. Nothing is ever stuck forever in a state of spiritual darkness. All of the spiritual darkness represents the raw material of enlightenment.
Homage to all Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture.